The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you come in. My name is Eric Metaxas. I'm the host of the Eric Metaxas Show. And as you know, out of respect for you, the viewers and listeners, I put on a coat and tie. Not like my guest, my friend, Kirk Cameron. Kirk, shame on you. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much. You know, you look so good in that suit and tie. It doesn't fit around a campfire like this.
I was going to say, you know, I'm teasing you because look at you. Now, not everybody, people who are listening via radio, they're not aware of the visuals because unless you have a very expensive radio, you can't actually see the person talking. And I got to tell you, you're sitting, I'm going to describe you for those who are listening. You're sitting in a backyard, obviously. The house looks too small. The house looks too small to be your house.
Able to deny it.
I know. But I was going to say, you're sitting in the backyard of a house, but the house looks too small to be your house. I know that when you went Hollywood, you bought like one of those McMansions or maybe three of them, one for mom. And so you're sitting in the backyard of some beautiful house. There is an American flag behind you. Obviously, you're not in New York, where I think it's snowing today, and you're wearing like a hoodie of some kind and a beard. Where did that beard come from? I mean, is that your beard?
Yes, this is my beard, and you know, when you wear a beard like this, you know, I start to feel like if I let this grow any further, I'm going to start to look like Phil Robertson. And from Duck Dynasty, and you know, I've heard somebody say that there's actually, we have words for people without beards, women and children.
That sounds like something Phil Robertson would say, though, right?
I know. It's going to be shaved. My wife will make me shave this off in about 2 weeks.
But Phil Robertson, you know that I actually went duck hunting with him, and when you get to spend some time with him, you realize that if you're clean shaven, he basically, in his mind, he considers you a eunuch.
Yeah, that's it.
There's no question.
You're a yuppie. That's right. You're a eunuch. Step up in his mind.
You're a Hollywood eunuch, and I'm a Manhattan eunuch. But you actually have a beard now, and that's an impressive, impressive beard.
So thank you. So the beard that I have is actually real. I didn't glue it on. This isn't some prosthetic Hollywood piece. And it's actually because I'm trying to grow this so I can play the part of a father in a movie that I'm going to be doing, and we are casting it right now. We're about to film next month. This is a movie that I'm doing with the Kendrick brothers. These are the guys that made War Room and Fireproof and Courageous, these faith-based movies. And this is a movie based on a true story, and it's all about the value of life in the womb and the value and the beauty of adoption. And this is super special to me because my wife is an adopted child, and we adopted four kids. So the life issue
minute.
Is huge,
four, you
and
guys
I get
adopted
to play a movie
four,
about it.
You guys adopted four kids?
We have six, and we adopted our first four. We can't remember which ones are which anymore, but yes, we adopted four kids.
Unbelievable. That's, you know, I guess I do remember that, but that is so wonderful. I've talked about adoption a lot. It's a beautiful thing, and people often, they forget that, hey, that's an option. If you have an unplanned pregnancy, hey, by the way, you can actually give an unbelievable gift to somebody by having that child. What a beautiful thing. I want to ask you more about the beard, if we could go back to something less important. Now, that beard, it just looks like perfectly trimmed. Now, did you do that yourself, or did you work with a decorator? Be honest.
You know, I have not gotten a haircut. I should. Maybe I could have gone to Nancy Pelosi's hairstylist, but I have cut my own hair. Since a year ago now.
This is not a political program. Do not go there. Okay.
She found one that was open.
You and your right wing friends.
Because everyone shut down in California.
You and your right wing friends. I've had it with you people. Okay, you're domestic terrorist wannabes.
Hey,
Can you please tell
me? I got out the dog clippers, and I've been shaving my own head, and I've been trimming my own beard with the clippers. And it's been kind of, you know what? It saved me a lot of money. It saved me enough money to buy this hoodie, and it's great. I think I'm going to keep it going.
We love to joke around, or I love to joke around too much, but you, before we went on the air, you said, I'm going to starting to look like Yul Gibbons. Now, you have to be a certain age to get that reference. You're really too young to get that reference. But I remember when I was like 8 or 9, Yul Gibbons would do commercials for grape nuts. And he was basically saying, I'm a naturalist or something, whatever the term we used in those days. Now, he did not have a beard, but I get the idea behind it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, that log cabin, woodsy kind of lumberjack guy. That's kind of what I'm looking like right now.
Unbelievable.
And it kind of fits out here because I'm in my backyard, as you know, and I'm sitting in front of a big campfire pit, and I've got an American flag behind me. And it's all part of something that I've been doing for the last month. And it's my own 100-day plan. You know, the tradition of presidents, as you know, is to roll out their first 100 days and what we're going to do. And I found that most of my friends are sort of like sitting in a corner, wringing their hands, crying in their Chick-fil-A soup, saying, oh, no, everything is going to be unraveled here by somebody with a bad 100-day plan. And I'm saying, you know what? Let's get off the defense. Let's be on the offense. And why don't we come up with our own 100-day plan? And so I've got mine, and I've invited people to join me in my backyard for 100 nights in a row while I build a campfire. And we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to give thanks to God, and we're going to go look at history and the providential perspective on how God both gave birth to and preserved and caused to flourish the greatest nation on earth, so that we can get back to these sacred covenant promises our forefathers made with God and see revival in our land. That's what I'm banking on, because short of revival, I don't think we're getting out of this one.
I agree with you, but here's the good news. Revival is coming. I believe it. I think that, you know, we always see this in history and certainly in scripture. The enemy overplays his hand. I really think that with Biden's almost being elected, he's still the vice president technically, but the idea is that he's in the White House, he's able to enact a lot of these things that are undoing what Trump was able to do. And I think people are seeing, gee, what would it be like to live under a big government, Marxist, woke administration? And they're realizing, you know what? It's not that great. When's daddy coming back home? And the fact is that you're right. Revival is the way out. So I really think with things as bad as they are and the Lord allowing us to see how ugly things can get, it's driving people to pray. And Kirk, what is better than that? I mean, the idea that you're doing this. Now, when you say you're doing a 100-day plan, have you begun this, or is this something that you're going to start?
No, we have begun this. Today, tonight will be day 35 of our 100-day plan, hence the beard. By the time I get to 100 days, I will look like Phil Robertson. I mean, I'll be able to hide a whole family of squirrels inside of this beard. And I'll tell you what, we've got 25,000 people who are joining us live every night. And the 24 to 48 hours later, viewership is up in the 2 to 3 million in episodes. So this is just a 15-minute gathering in my backyard around a campfire. And I'm telling you, Eric, people are praying for one another. They're praying for our country, the leadership. The comments are all about, you know, the family of faith coming together, and people are building campfires in their backyards, in fireplaces in their living room, and lighting candles. And we've even been having communion on Sunday nights together as we talk not only about faith stuff, but about how to put feet to our faith and have healthy politics. And we're learning all this stuff from the Pilgrims. We're learning this stuff from John Robinson and Winthrop and George Whitefield and others. This is on fire stuff.
I have to tell you, you know, I get fired up whenever we talk because we care about some of the same things. It is so beautiful you're doing this. If people want to join you virtually, how can they do that before? Because we're going to a break here. What's the way to do that?
Just go onto my Facebook page. Turn on the notification and I'll let you know. It's usually about sunset every night, 5 o'clock, 5:30 Pacific time. It's Official Kirk Cameron on Facebook.
Official Kirk Cameron on Facebook. This is fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with my friend Kirk Cameron. Don't go away.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow I'll be on my way.
Hey there, gang. Gather around the campfire. You and I and our friend Kirk Cameron are talking about a lot of stuff. We're talking about America. We're talking about community. We're talking about God, whom I call the Lord, because we have a personal relationship now. And Kirk, I just want to say that I love what you do. You're able to use media and social media to reach out to people, to give them hope. What you're doing on this 100-day plan, because you said Biden's got a 100-day plan, you know, to take us into the ditch, and I say that in love. But you have a 100-day plan to gather people around the campfire every night, and you're asking people to join you virtually on Facebook at Official Kirk Cameron on Facebook. And it's a beautiful thing. I want to talk to you about the pilgrims as well, but I just love the idea that you're so proactive that you do things like this. It's pretty cool. Is there food? You know, if people were to show up virtually, I guess there's no food.
No, there's no food. And taking communion together, that doesn't count as food. In fact, the Bible actually warns against that kind of thing. However, I'm thinking on the 100th day, by the time my beard is large enough to host a family of squirrels, I want to actually be on a beach in California and invite everybody, or like road trip to Texas on a ranch, and let's get all 25,000 people joining virtually in person with a big bonfire, and let's send up praises and thanksgiving and recommit ourselves to the ancient covenants that not only our Abraham and Isaac's and Jacob's and Moses has made with God, but our forefathers and foremothers made when they founded this place. That's I think, the pathway to freedom and blessing.
You know, you just you said a lot there, but first of all, I want to say that you're on the 35th day as we tape this. When this airs, you might be on the 38th day or something like that. But people can go to Official Kirk Cameron on Facebook and can join you. When I hear about stuff like this, I think, wow, I just want to be there. I want to be a part of that. I think I'm getting to California at some point. Maybe we can connect. But it just sounds like so much fun. It just sounds like a wonderful thing. I want to talk to you about the pilgrims. You mentioned the pilgrims. What was that pilgrim sculpture that you had made? Can people purchase that? Because I was so fascinated. I've never seen the thing in person, but you and I talked about it when you did one of your Fathom events, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, most people think of the pilgrims, and at least the way that I was taught about them when I was a kid, was that they were these religious fuddy-duddies who were like, you know, they couldn't worship God the way they wanted, so they tried to run away and find someplace, and they were dressed really weird. They had these tall black hats with holding turkey guns and belt buckles on their shoes. Not very important people. But what I've learned is that these were the out-of-the-box Christian thinkers. These are the people who got the Bible. It set them free in their hearts and in their minds, and they recognized that they were living under tyranny. And so they, against all odds, risked their lives, went across the ocean in a little wine ship that was never designed for such a task. And they were delivered miraculously by God, and they then wrote something called the Mayflower Compact, and they discovered the godly principles that led to the flourishing of the United States of America. And we are indebted to them. And so I've been learning about them as we gather around the American Campfire Revival. And I've been reading from this book called The American Covenant, The Untold Story. And we've been learning how they were forced into socialism and communism by the merchants that paid for their little Mayflower ship. And they lived on these common lands, and they basically realized that they were going to die, that it just reduced productivity. There were people who were just deciding they weren't going to work because it didn't make sense under these economic conditions. And so they switched. The governor of the pilgrims switched to every man gets his own plot of land, and what you plant and what you harvest is what you eat.
Are you
so
trying
you take
to say,
care of your family?
Are you trying to say communism doesn't work, socialism doesn't work? Are you going to go out on a limb and say that that has been failing forever?
According to the pilgrims, socialism sucks. And self-government under God succeeds. It always does. And that's because that's the way the world works. When you have integrity and when you are able to govern yourself voluntarily under the eternal principles of peace, the rules of righteousness, everything works, everything flourishes. And then you have a strong bond of love for your neighbor. You have more than enough for you and your family. You have enough to take care of those who are having a rough time. You don't need the government to steal your stuff and give it to them. You give it to them voluntarily because you're being blessed by God by doing things his way.
That's what the pilgrims learned. I mean, you and I, we love America, not just because we're Americans, but because America is the embodiment of these ideas. And once you move away from these ideas, we cease to be America. We cease to be free. Obviously, that happens normally. Like, basically, unless you keep the republic and you teach your kids these things and live these things out, it goes away. And I think it's so important for us to talk about it. I wrote a book about it. You and I have discussed my book, If You Can Keep It. But what is the book, The American Covenant, The Untold Story? What is that?
Yeah. So this is a book that is actually, it's been out of print for a little while, written by my friend, Dr. Marshall Foster. And it's a book that I have treasured for the last 10 years or so as I've learned about these things. You mentioned the big statue, the big monument. It's called the National Monument to the Forefathers. And the author of this book I'm talking about is the guy that showed me that monument. And it's the largest granite monument in America. I'm jumping all over the place here.
No, sorry.
I had too much coffee this morning. And that monument embodies the principles of the pilgrims, and it's the same principles in this book. It's actually being a new edition is going to be coming out because we've been talking about it so much. Everybody wants a copy of it, but it's not available yet. It will be probably in about 2 to 3 weeks. It's called The American Covenant, The Untold Story. And it's wonderful. It talks about all these principles.
We need more of this. Kirk, that's one of the reasons I love having you on. Now, the National Monument to the Forefathers, that where does that stand? Is that in Plymouth, Massachusetts?
Yes, it's in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's hidden in a forest, and nobody has practically nobody knows it's there because they put it actually on top of a hill. It's the largest granite monument in America. It's 88 feet tall. It's 80 tons of granite, and it spells out a biblical worldview and the instructions on how to build and sustain a free and just society for everyone, Christian or non-Christian, under God. And they've let the trees grow up around it, and they've put houses all around it. And so now you can't even see it because the trees are taller than the monument unless you know where it is. And when you go in there, you realize they're not honoring it like it should be honored. It's like the forgotten stepchild of monuments, and yet I think it's got the most important message of all of them.
What year was it created? Do we know?
It was actually started just prior to the Civil War, and Abraham Lincoln was one of the first 10 contributors to fund the construction of this. It was then interrupted by the Civil War, and it wasn't completed until 1889.
That is unbelievable. That's extraordinary. Now, can we buy replicas of this? Because I remember we were talking, you were delivering replicas of this around the country a couple of years, 3 years ago or something like that. And you said there were two different size replicas. Are they available?
Yeah, they are. So I made a documentary called Monumental, and everybody said, wow, I want to go see that thing. And some people did go to Massachusetts, but for the rest, I said, well, I'll try to bring it to you. And so I got the sculptors from Lord of the Rings to hand sculpt a copy of this monument. And you can go to my website and you can get one shipped to your front door.
What's your website? People are going to do this. What's your website?
Yeah, it's KirkCameron.com. But hold up. I'm actually trying to order more. I just went through 1,000 of them. I've been giving them away to politicians and pastors and presidents of educational facilities. Parents, but I'm totally out. So I'm trying to restock them, and that's probably going to be a couple of months before people can get them. But I suppose you could go and pre-order. I mean, I'll get it to you as soon as I get them.
I love it. When I saw the replica that you showed me, I was just taken, my breath was taken away, because it's so, it's not only beautiful, but it's important. It's central. So I just, I love this. So I forgot that you did a documentary called Monumental. Where can people see that one, by the way, if people want to see Monumental?
Well, probably the coolest way. I mean, you could go search it out on Facebook. I think some people have got it up there and you can just watch it for free. You might have to hunt for it a little bit. You could check on, you know, iTunes or maybe Amazon. But the other way to get it is if you get the replica, it comes with a booklet that I wrote that explains and decodes the whole monument. So it explains, you know, what law is all about, and faith and liberty and education, morality. But it also comes with a DVD of Monumental, and then you can just have it and, you know, throw it in your DVD player if you still have one of those.
That is so great. It's like you want the floor mats. All you got to do is order the car, and it comes with the floor mats. We throw that in. We're going to a break. This is all such great stuff, folks. I'm talking to my friend Kirk Cameron. Important stuff. Important stuff. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Kirk Cameron. Yeah, I'm talking to him right now. And I've got a question. If people can see you, they see that you're wearing a hooded sweatshirt with a picture, some kind of a graphic of a campfire on it. And it says, "What's your plan?" And the Y and the O are omitted for cost reasons. What's your plan? So what is that? What is that sweatshirt? And how can I buy a cop? How can I buy one?
Well, Eric, I'll just give you one. You don't need to buy one. But basically, the reason I have this sweatshirt is because so many people have been watching the American Campfire Revival on Facebook Live every night. It's our 100-day plan. And really what I'm trying to do is I want to spread the fires of revival and a love for God and love for our neighbor and love for our country. And so it's not about me in my backyard. It's about the people who are watching and wanting them to be able to have tools to get them into conversations with their neighbors and their people at work or at the gym or the grocery store. And it says, "What's your plan?" And it gives people an opportunity to you know, allow people to say, "Hey, what's your sweatshirt about?" And they can say, "Well, you know, you need to have a plan, right?" And every president rolls out his 100-day plan to fix the nation or to make it better. And we're not putting our hopes in a political leader. We're actually 20,000 people strong. And we have our own plan. It's all about praying. It's all about thanking God. And it's about learning what made this country so great in the first place and getting back to those principles so that our kids have some liberty left that they can enjoy. And it's called the American Campfire Revival. And people have been loving them. So they've been getting them on my website and using them as tools to spread the message of revival.
It's amazing. You know, as we're talking, you're so positive and so proactive. And it's ironic because in person, you're a bitter, complaining ne'er-do-well. Anybody who knows you knows. All you do is complain, nothing positive. Seriously, though, you have come up with something that is so friendly and so outward-facing that you can imagine people who are maybe not exactly on board would say, "That sounds cool. I would be willing to hang out at that campfire or at my friend's campfire." I mean, I can imagine that there are people right now thinking, "You know what? I could do this." And my neighbors will see it and they'll wonder what's going on over there. And they'll kind of come over and check it out. And, you know, we could maybe build friendships or something like that. And I got to tell you, I think your wife is leaving you. There was a woman with pulling a suitcase behind you. I think you better run after her. I think it's your
that
wife.
Actually wasn't my wife. That was my long-haired nephew.
Oh, you know what? I'm so glad. I was so worried that your marriage, because I know these Hollywood marriages, they don't really last. I know. Seriously.
Everybody's playing wife swap out here.
Don't tell your nephew I thought he was a she. Because I didn't
really. Yeah, I thought you were my wife.
No, I didn't. You're...
He does have a girlish figure. He said
that's right. Wide hips. So look, you're wearing a shirt. If people want to get that, can they get that? I mean, they can get it for the family and start building fires and do what you're doing.
That's it. So go for the whole thing. Here's the uniform. We've got the What's Your Plan sweatshirt. You can just get that at my website. Go to KirkCameron.com and you can get them there, any size, any color. But just be ready, because if you build a campfire in your backyard in Manhattan, or you build it in some suburban neighborhood, people are going to think either your house is on fire, or are these guys having some sort of some sort of tribal smoking ceremony in their backyard, or what's going on? But it's good, because they'll look over the fence and you'll say, hey, join us. I mean, we got worship music playing. I got David Crowder playing in my backyard. I got Zach Williams playing in my backyard. And we're praying, we're taking communion, and we're talking about the pilgrims. And then we're making our own plan for the future for our kids.
I got to say, this is wonderful, Kurt. It really is. It is absolutely wonderful. There's one final thing I want to talk to you about. I don't want to leave off talking about this, but before we forget, homeschool movement. There's been a big homeschool movement because so many people during COVID had said, hey, I don't have to send my kids to the indoctrination camps anymore so they can learn cultural Marxism. I could give them my own indoctrination at home. Biblical values, normalcy, common sense, 2 + 2 equals 4, all that crazy stuff from our own childhoods. So you're making
you
a documentary.
Must be a right-wing extremist.
You know something? I've got a lot of pemmican. I've got a lot of GORP. You know that stuff? Like I got the water purification pills. I'm ready for the end times.
The world.
I've got
that?
Yeah, pemmican. Okay, so seriously, tell us about the homeschool movement, man.
So, there are actually many millions of homeschool students in the United States and around the world. It's really flourishing here in the United States. But something crazy happened. There is now an explosion, a proliferation of homeschool families, not by choice, but because the COVID lockdowns shuttered so many schools that kids are now in their homes and their parents are going, oh my gosh, I've lost my job. My kids are not at school. Now they're at home on a laptop, and they're suddenly seeing what their kids are actually being taught in their public schools.
Yeah.
And they're being horrified. And so they're saying, wow, is there an alternative? And yes, there is a wonderful alternative. It's called the homeschooling movement. There is so much curriculum, so many networks, so much support that parents are finally realizing we can take back the education of our kids and we can actually disciple them. That's what school is. It's a discipleship program.
You send your kids to
people for 8 hours a day.
If we're going to go to break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about this. You're making a documentary about the homeschool movement. People can also go to samsorbo.com. She's big on homeschooling. It is wonderful, folks. We'll be right back with Kirk Cameron. Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. My guest is Kirk Cameron. If he got rid of the beard, you'd recognize him from one of those 80s sitcoms he used to watch. But that beard is an unbelievable disguise. I understand that that beard has been in your family for generations. Is that correct?
Yes, it has. It has. My grandfather had very durable beard hair. In fact, they say it's the strongest fiber on the planet. I think they're beginning to use it in spacesuits and bulletproof jackets now.
That's incredible.
And so this particular beard has been passed. They're calling on all men everywhere to grow as much of it as possible.
There's probably a lot of lead shot in that beard from the Civil War if you just rake through it.
Yeah. That's exactly
right. Your great-great-great-grandpappy took a load of buckshot in the face, and it didn't even graze him because that beard is just so stiff. Okay, listen, we got to get serious. We're talking about homeschooling. You are making a documentary. Do you know when it will be out, or is this something you've just begun?
this is something that we've just begun production, and we've interviewed so many families, and it's so exciting. I mean, can you imagine being a 14-year-old kid, and instead of sitting at a desk listening to a boring professor drone on and on for hours, and you're trying not to fall asleep, instead you're flying an airplane, or you are starting your own restaurant business, and you're traveling around. Why? Because you actually have a spirit of adventure and a love for learning that your parents helped to foster and gave you opportunities to pursue the areas that you've been naturally gifted in. And so that these are the kind of families that we're interviewing, urban families, suburban families, rural families, doing all kinds of things so that their kids can grow up and flourish and maximize their gifts and talents.
I was, I think I was saying this to you before, but how the enemy always overplays his hand, and this weird lockdown. I mean, you're in California with Governor Pretty Boy. I always get his name. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But Governor Pretty Boy has really overplayed his hand and has shut so much stuff down that people are fighting back. They're getting him recalled. People all over the country are saying, this is ridiculous. We're going to homeschool our kids. I got to tell you, I think it's exciting. I think this is the seed of the future, that we're beginning to see people say, okay, enough is enough. We're wasting tax money. We're giving it to these leaders who have no common sense. We're going to kind of start doing things on our own. Frankly, that was what public school used to be, right? Like you'd basically set up a one-room schoolhouse because you couldn't do it yourself because you had to, you know, go plow. And it was really in loco parentis, like basically what you wanted to teach your kids, the school teacher would teach your kids. Now it's gotten way out of hand and your kids are being indoctrinated. It's got nothing to do with what the parents would want for the kids.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And when Chelsea and I started sending our kids to school, we had a wonderful little school, but then ultimately we had to find a new option once they got too old for that school. And we went with homeschooling because really what I realized is it's not about me having to be a math teacher and a science teacher and try to replace the history. It's really about you as a parent being in charge of your kids' education. And there's lots of people to help you. There's other parents who are really good at some subjects. There are networks. There are schools that you can go to. Your kids can even go to college long before their peers are going to college and taking online courses. The key is you're in the driver's seat. You're not farming it out. You're not subcontracting the discipleship of your children to people who hate what you believe and undermine everything you tried to teach them when they were little. And that can take on a variety of different forms. So we love it, and I want to give a new face to the homeschooling movement. It's not just a nerdlingers convention with a bunch of moms in floor-length denim jumpers with head coverings who grind their own wheat. Although there's nothing wrong with grinding your own wheat.
Nothing wrong with that.
Denim.
That's right.
But that's not the totality of the movement. I mean, you've got just incredibly talented, ambitious, culture-shaping families and kids out there who are going to be the next Elon Musk, the next Eric Metaxas, the next whatever. And it's really exciting.
Well, it is very exciting.
I don't know if we want another Eric Metaxas.
Even one is a little too much. I think 0.7 would be the way I would do it. But here we are. What are you going to do? We got to go with it. I want to say that you can be found at Kirk Cameron, K-I-R-K, kirkcameron.com. So you have your own website. People can buy that shirt that you're wearing at that website?
Sure. Yeah, you can get that. I'm going to have a bunch more American Campfire Revival gear. That's again, designed to be tools for you to help spread the message that this country is worth fighting for. It's a beautiful place. That's why millions of people risk their lives to come here and break laws to get here. It's not, you don't see people trying to leave this country to get to Cuba. They're trying to come into the country because it's got something very valuable. It's called liberty and freedom. And we need to get back to those things rather than jettisoning those things.
You're doing so much. You're reprinting The American Covenant, The Untold Story by Marshall Foster. You are making a documentary on the homeschool movement. You're selling pilgrim sculptures, although they're not yet ready to go, but people can pre-order them at is it at kirkcameron.com?
Yeah, I just made it easy. You can go there and it'll shoot you to all the different places to get the stuff you want.
I want to get one of those sculptures and one of those T-shirts, because I'm going to use that T-shirt. I'm going to, when I go jogging in Central Park, and people are going to say, hey, hey, what does it say on your T-shirt? And I'm going to say, get out of my way. I'm trying to exercise, son. Is that too harsh?
That's right. That's
get out of my way. I'm trying to exercise, son. Because I want to be, you know, I don't want to be too open. I want them to have to, you know, chase after me.
Yeah. I could also send you I could also send you a beard that looks a lot like mine. I'll rake out the buckshot first. My grandpa, he had two of them. And so I got an extra one. I think it'll fit your face.
Your grandpappy had a spare? Man, that's in those days they were prepared. Like if one beard got shot off, whoop, wow. You put the next one right back on. No one would even know. It's so incredible. If only you had a brother, you'd look like the Smith brothers. Remember those guys from the cough drops? We're lucky for you. We're out of time because I know I'm just about to get you in trouble somehow. But it's just always fun to talk to you. When we go off the air, I want to make sure that we exchange addresses so I can send you a copy of my book. But honestly, you're doing so much, Kurt, and it's all the kind of stuff that it's close to my heart. So I'm just really grateful for your proactive attitude, the fact that people can check this out any night at your Facebook page, Official Kurt Cameron. I think you're going to get a lot of people who are hungry for this kind of thing. So thank you for doing it, and keep up the good work. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for highlighting it. And you and I both know that you and I can sit and talk in front of cameras, which is great. But the real heroes are the people that are letting it come in their ears, and they're putting feet to this stuff, and going and changing their homes and their communities.
Amen.
That's without that, nothing happens.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Beautiful.
Folks, have you done it yet? Have you done it yet? What am I talking about? Alvin, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Food for the poor.
Food for the poor. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, folks, you're obligated to go to MetaxasTalk.com. Hey, I don't make the rules. That's just the rule. If you can hear my voice right now, yes, you have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. But listen, this is a great opportunity. I joke around. It is such an amazing opportunity. We partner with Food for the Poor because they're reputable and because every single person wants to give back, knows we have an obligation to give back, to do something. But you always wonder how, what do I give to? Do I give to the Red Cross? Do I give to this? Are they reputable? Are they doing what? Well, let me tell you. That's why we work with Food for the Poor, because they are tremendously reputable. They have an ability, just for an example, $37. This is insane. $37. If you give them $37, they can feed a kid for 6 months. This is in Honduras, which has been devastated by back-to-back horrible tropical storms. They have the ability, they get donations of rice, of beans, whatever, and they use the money that we give to get this food to kids that literally are starving. I mean, we work with them because we know they're reputable, because they have the ability to stretch our dollars. And I have to say, $37 is, you know, that's madness, folks. Do you understand like what that means to a kid 6 months? You know, if you can get your kids involved, by the way, I always say, it's really a wonderful thing to teach kids that we give back. And how do we give back? Well, we know there are people far less fortunate than we are wherever we are in life. And we have an obligation to do something. The only question is what? That's why we work with Food for the Poor, because they're the what? They're the folks that we can totally trust when we give. And we want to give something, but we don't know where to give. Well, that's it. So you go to MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com, you'll see the banner. I've got a phone number too, but Alvin, right now, if people give, they're also helping people in Texas.
That's right.
Yeah. Do we have a clip on that?
Yeah.
Let's play that clip.
It's not us over here and them over there, but it's all of us collectively. For a moment, we get to live life together. And the cool thing is, I saw Food for the Poor and what they did, where our money goes. And it was a beautiful thing that impacted my life in such a great way that I can't wait to go back, because I believe in what Food for the Poor does. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it really is a part of my heart and a part of my life now.
A lot of people in the Salem universe, the Salem faculty, as Sebastian Gorka calls it, have worked with Food for the Poor, have gone on trips to see what they do. So this is personal for us. This is not just some organization. We've worked with them for years. Phil Boyce has done a number of trips with them. So I'm going to give you the phone number. But I want to say, Alvin, anybody who gives anything, we don't care how much you give, anything that you give, they're asking $37 as a minimum, but you give whatever you want to give. Obviously, we're hoping there are a lot of people that can do a lot more than that. But whatever you give, we will put your name in a hat, and we're picking a number of grand prize winners who will get signed copies of my new book, Fish Out of Water, signed copies of Albin's books, signed copies of my other children's books, my Donald the Caveman books, like tons of stuff, t-shirts, hats, whatever. There are a number of these we're giving out. It's not just one. So there are a number of grand prizes. If you give anything, your name goes in a hat, and we're going to be announcing these winners. But the phone number is 844-863-HOPE. That's 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE.
Yeah. And Eric, I just say, I just love the fact that you're not only helping poor people and people who are starving in Honduras because of tropical storms there, but also people right here in this country, in Texas in particular. So this is a great time to really give to Absolutely. Food for the poor.
And if anybody wants to give $10,000 to Food for the Poor, I would be privileged to join you, spend an evening together. My time's valuable, but I want to give back. And so anybody who's prepared to give that kind of a gift will work that out. Folks, 844-863.